preaching out of my notebooks. I'm preaching the Word of God to you. But I do want to preach to you what the Word says to us about prayer. Now last week, let me get my right notebook. I started writing notes and one thought, well, you ever start that, you start writing your notes and you get out of order and you're like, okay, so I got to do all these little squiggly lines here and there. I'm like, okay, if I just have multiple notebooks, I can just put them all together. Well, I have yet to put them together. But that's okay. But last week I taught you out of James chapter 5. Let's go there real quick. James chapter 5. And yes, we are going to verse 16. So if you know it by heart, that's great. But we're going to do the second half of the verse. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, last week I spent the whole service teaching you what each one of these words meant in the Greek and what their connotation was coming to us as the translation, which was actually lost. Because we all know that sometimes you can use a word that might actually mean something else. And, you know, for me, when I was in the first grade learning how to spell, the hardest word for me to comprehend what it was saying was the word no. And I'm not talking N-O. I had learned that one when I was 3. I'm talking about the word K-N-O-W. I'm like, how can a K say no? The W, if you put that just N-O-W, that says no. I had the hardest time converting that into my brain, and finally I got it that K sometimes is just silent to make it look like a different word. But it says the same thing. But how many of us know it does not mean the same thing? As a matter of fact, the translators were really, really trying to be very conscientious of how they translated the Bible. Now, to be honest with you, I think they need to translate the Bible the way the word means. How many of you figured out that Adam knew his wife Eve does not mean he met her? The word there is intercourse. In other words, we'd break it down to he had sex with his wife. Every time you see that word. But did you know that most times when you see the word, when somebody knew them and God knew Abram, doesn't mean he had sex with Abraham. Don't go getting perverted. It was talking about a relationship that you have with someone like that. My wife and I, we have a relationship, a strong relationship, as well as every spouse in here should have when you know somebody. You know them better than anybody else. And because of that, you know, sometimes we've lost some things. We're like, oh yeah, okay, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How about you get into that and figure out what that means? I studied that out a couple years ago, and we taught it when we were still having a study at our house on Wednesdays. And man, if you understood what the whole symbolism in that scripture was, you would never read it at a funeral again. You'd say, no, I want that read every day in my life. He's talking about life. He's talking about walking. You don't walk when you're dead, do you? Then you're not dead. You know, we have words for those things. We call them zombies or whatever. But dead people don't just get up out of the ground and walk around and eat people's brains. Okay? That's what we think of. Somebody comes out of the ground, they are no longer dead. Jesus is no longer dead. He was dead as a doornail on Friday afternoon. But come Sunday morning, he was as live as you and me. As a matter of fact, he went to a whole new level. He's still alive today, operating in that whole new level. And praise God, I'm going to have to wait. But boy, is it going to be an awesome day, you know, when it's like, whew, wow. You know, I watched a movie again last night, or the other afternoon, called Jumper. It's about a person who kind of teleports, Philip did this in the Bible. You need to understand, well, you better get in your Bible and see what God's talking about. There are so many things, the powers of God, Anyhow, Philip's standing there talking to an African eunuch one minute, preaching out somewhere else the next. You know, Miss Brenda said it last night. I had to laugh because it was in the movie too. She's like, just think, just this morning you were sitting in Dallas and here you are a few hours later, you're back in Columbus, Ohio. Well, yeah, in our mindset, that is awesome. But in this movie, this kid, when he discovered his powers, he would go from anywhere to anywhere just like that. If he wanted to, one minute he walks out of his apartment in New York and he walks down the streets and pictures himself on hanging on the thing at Big Ben. And there he is. He's standing up around that clock in London. What do you think happened to Philip? But Jesus did the same. He went up till they lost sight of him. But you can see you aren't going to see a man for very long in that distance. But you don't think that God took him real slow all the way through the stratosphere and ionosphere and all those other spheres. Man, he's the Word. If you think light travels fast, I forget exactly how fast sound does travel, but it's fast. It's very fast. The Word incarnate was, whoo! Next thing you know, he's in heaven. So, but anyhow, that's way off the message. That's just a nice little bonus for you this morning. I'm going to go ahead and just read this to you out of the way that I broke it down last week with the words, what they mean. Okay, the effective fervent prayer means the already working and zealously hot request for benefits of a righteous man or of one who has willingly conformed his life and character to the ways and will of God. How many of you are willingly conforming your life and your character? Well, the rest of you will pray for you. Missed a good time to raise your hand. Says it avails much, or in other words, it has great value. Now I'm going to put it this way: most of you got kids, and if you got more than one, you'll understand exactly what I'm saying. If Joshua goes downstairs and tells Jesse to do something, Jesse's going to say, I ain't listening to you, and I'm not kidding you. Jesse will fight him on this. I'm not going to do what you say. You are not my boss. Any of you younger siblings ever pull that one? But if Joshua goes down the steps, tells Jesse, Dad said, do this, what does that mean? To Jesse. That means Jesse better drop everything he's doing right there, right now, and move. Right? Because that's what you expect. You understand what his words now carry weight? They got value to him. They got weight. There's something backing him. So you've been given the name of Jesus. But there's also something else to this. It means there's something backing me. It's the authority. He's now operating in that, but he's got my authority. But if Joshua does not obey me, if Joshua chooses to go down and start abusing my name and my authority, what's going to happen? He gets stripped of it. You now become Jesse's slave. See how you like it for a little while. See, birth order doesn't always guarantee it. It usually does, but not always. God didn't always go with the birth order. And I'm not preaching you heresy. Get in your Bible. Jacob was not the oldest. Isaac. Remember when he blessed the sons of Joseph? He crossed his hands. The right hand was the hand of authority. That's what upset Joseph. No, Dad, it's wrong son. This one's born first. Isaac said, I know. I'm blessing this one with the authority. So anyhow, you have authority. When you go into a room, you've got something going before you. when a great king went into battle, you know what they did? You just look at the Romans. The Romans were notorious for this as far as the pageantry of their processions for their military. Those banners weren't there just for nothing. You know, anybody that's ever been to a military parade on a military installation, you'll see the company's colors, their American flag, flying, and it'll have streamers on it. And if this company has been in battle and won medals and other ribbons and things and citations, they will be displayed. In other words, that says you give respect to them. You don't, and if you walk in and they ain't got anything, what'd you guys get done? You guys ended up peeling potatoes the whole time, didn't you? You missed out on all the fight because you couldn't get your heads out of, never mind. Just about slipped into the Marine Corps days there. So in other words, your faith, when you pray, I'm going to finish this out so I can expound on that. I'm going to read it all the way through. The already working and zealously hot request for benefits of one who has willingly conformed his life and character to the will and ways of God has great value and produces a multitude of harvests. That's what that scripture says. Well, Pastor, that's not what my King James says. Well, I'm telling you, you need to get into your Greek. You need to learn what the Greek had to say about it. You need to know what words they put before it. Now, since I don't study Greek, I have a hard enough time with the English language. I'm going to go by word studies, by people who have their doctorates in this area. Amen. That's why God gave them to us. They are teachers. They are great people. And that's what this man said. There are words before and after this that change its meaning. If somebody comes up to you and starts talking about another word, and I've heard people say English is actually the hardest language to learn because we have words that sound the same, but they're spelled different and don't mean the same thing. Like see and see. Now, which one am I talking about on this hand? You have no clue because all I did was speak it. But if I say, I see and thus see, you now know what word I'm talking about. And that's the way the Greek is. So anyhow, so you need to get in and study that if you don't believe it. I know I'm stretching you. That's my job. It's my job to stretch you to conform to the will and ways of God. Because if you want to have everything that God has for you, you're going to have to stretch. My drill instructors, boy, when they put me in and they'd stretch us, we would stretch. I mean, man, we always had some other guy grab your leg. You see it sometimes. You lay on your back and you push on them with that leg straight up in the air and you push. Now, I can't do that very far now, but it's because I've not stretched. But that in that day in life, he could have just taken my leg and shoved it right on over. I was flexible. I was able to do what they wanted me to do. I could run, I could jump, I could climb, I could lay there and cry like a little baby if I wanted to, but I could do whatever I wanted. They needed me to do because they stretched me. Now, so it produces a great value. Now, it has great value. Now, I told you last week that this is based on your faith. Well, Pastor, I mean, I can't believe God only gives me things based on my faith. You ain't been reading your Bible. That's evident. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're somebody that thinks you know everything, you're going to hang yourself. That's right. Because that's in the Bible. Jesus said, be it according to you, according to your faith. He didn't say according to my faith. He said according to your faith. If you only believe. We're going to look at that now, actually. Turn to Mark chapter 11. We're going to look here. This proves my point. Why did I mark? I'm sorry, it's Mark chapter 9. Say amen when you're there. Amen. All right, we want to go to, we're going to actually come back here later on during this series, but we'll go to 18. 17 as you were. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." Now, I want you to pay attention to what he calls a mute spirit and what it does. "And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid." How many of you have ever met somebody who's mute? I've known a few people. Do they get thrown down on the ground, start foaming at the mouth, gnashing at their teeth, and stiffen up? No. Anybody ever known somebody who does that? Well, that's a demon spirit, but we call it a disease today. Epilepsy. It was an epileptic spirit that also, a spirit that was in control, was keeping him from speaking. Now, I did know a man who was an epileptic. I don't know if he wants to keep that thing, keep it. I don't want it. But he had a seizure in the church. Now, this thing was violent, and it was out to destroy him. That's all those things are out to do. You understand? It was obviously just out because it would do it whenever it wanted. We try to control things with medications. You cannot control a demon with drugs. The demon's like, "Cool, I got help. I got a little bit of reinforcements here." You know, people start doing drugs. "I need to unwind a little bit. Take this to relax me. Got to take that to wake back up." If you're in that situation, you need some prayer. You need deliverance. Because I can't remember who it was I was listening to. And Elvis got into it. And that's what ended up ultimately killing him. But there was somebody else just recently. We heard him. That they were taking they were taking sleeping pills to go to sleep. And then they'd have to take something to wake back up. Well, Heath Ledger was doing it. This is somebody who's still alive. It's a woman. Angela will probably think of it. But anyhow. So this spirit would come upon him, throw him to the ground, and throw him into a seizure. Now, "And so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." They couldn't do it. Do you think they were standing there and saying, "In the name of Jesus, come out of him"? Yeah. They were doing what they were taught to do. But guess what? It wasn't coming out. It wasn't obeying. "He answered and said to him, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.'" Now, don't you know that if he turned to the man, who do you think is going to be standing around this man to defend their case? Yes, the disciples is who he was speaking to. He's not training this man. He just turned to the man. He turned to his disciples and said, "You faithless generation, how long shall I bear?" Translates to our modern day vernacular is, "How long do I have to put up with you? How long do I got to carry you?" Anybody ever felt like you carried somebody? "Man, hope you hurry up and learn to do your job. I'm getting tired of carrying you." Yeah, but no matter what you're in, you probably thought that about somebody. You know, "Tim, hey, I'm getting tired of carrying you here. I can only lay one block at a time. You're not even laying that." You know, or, "I wish you'd hurry up and put them shingles down a little faster because I'm having to do three times the work." Or, "I wish you'd hurry up and learn how to make that window because I'm having to carry you. Or production goes down." You see what I'm saying? That's what he was saying to his disciples. He's like, "How long do I got to keep carrying you in faith?" "Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth." How convenient. We got a verification he's there. Yep, the devil's home. "So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him into both the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.'" Now I want to describe the way this boy probably looked. He was probably burned, probably had scars. His father probably had to jump more than one time into the lake to get his son out of it. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Notice what Jesus said to him. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I may have read that a little faster. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Him who has faith. He who has faith. You got to start out with that little mustard seed. I've taught this before. God never intended for your mustard seed faith to stay this small. Because Jesus always pointed out that when it has grown, it becomes the mightiest tree in the garden. It doesn't stay tiny. As a tiny little seed, you can only do so much. But if you're a great big tree, not only are you producing fruit, but you can provide shelter. You can provide comfort. But a lot of people today, they just want to keep their mustard seed faith. I just got just a little bit of faith is all Jesus said you got to have. To start off with, you got a little bit of privileges when you got your driver's permit, didn't you? And as you proved yourself, you were given more opportunities. You were given the opportunity to go on the highway. My dad, just because the instructor took us down, well, actually, my dad trained me on I-71, so I have no fear of highways. Dad let me drive him to work, so I drove to Columbus and over to Gahanna every time I went to work with him. It was only later we found out that my permit wasn't valid, that I hadn't taken the permit yet. I had the papers, but just they weren't stamped official yet. Would have been nice to have known. But anyhow, so I learned how to do that. But Dad never said, you know, okay, I have taken you down there. You got your license today. Tomorrow you can go ahead and go into Columbus by yourself. No. And you don't want to know what? My dad knew I could drive, and I can drive. I'm a pretty good driver. But I got grounded inside of 6 hours of having my license. I don't know if I broke any records, but I'm like, you told me to go to the store. Dad's like, we didn't know. I mean, it dumped 4 or 5 inches of snow inside that hour. And it just, they said, go to the store. Dad's in the tub relaxing. Oh, yeah, you go into the store. Well, I jumped in the car. Now, I'd driven in those conditions before because I hauled wood from the field next to us. And it would snow. It didn't matter. I'd just drive out on the road and into the drive. And well, I got home and got grounded. Now, I got relieved real quick because Mom and Dad found out the benefits to having a child who doesn't have their own car and wants to drive, and they need something from the store. You can have a car if you go to the store for me. I learned quick, ask Mom, what am I going in there for? Any son who has ever had to do that for his mother knows exactly what I'm talking about. The problem was, I went to school with those girls at the cashier. And I don't want it. No. And you know what? Praise God. I've done it for my wife, but you know what? I've come to the conclusion, you know what to get. I come back with the wrong thing every time. So ladies, I'm going to speak on behalf of men everywhere. Get it yourself. We ain't got a clue. Wings? We shoot things with wings. Come on. We're men. Anyhow, so it has great value. Immediately, verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Why would he have any unbelief in him now? Because the disciples could not cast out the demons. And if we'll look at it later, but if you look ahead of that, was it the scribes or the Pharisees? Scribes. The scribes were all around and they were arguing with the disciples on how this demon should be cast out. They had their methods. Bring an oak leaf. Bring the tea bags. And the holy water. Don't forget some of that. They were arguing with the disciples. The disciples didn't have the faith to back this. I'm going to prove it to you. And so they were standing there. So this man's belief system has taken a beating. Anybody ever had that happen to you? You believe in something and then something doesn't happen. It's like, it takes a beating. Well, that's what happened to this man. But Jesus turned around and told him and said, if you only believe. And just because you may have faith in one area doesn't mean you're walking on the water the next day. Your faith may not be ready to walk on the water yet. Now, arrogantly, when I was about 16, our youth leader asked, he said, is there anybody who can walk on water? And I raised my hand. He said, not frozen. I said, no, I can't do it yet, but I will. I have yet to walk on the water. But I've also got a whole lot more faith than I had back then, too. And there's no point for me to walk on the water. Is there? I ain't got nobody to show off. If I'm going to do it to show off, it ain't happening. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it. Now, I want to remind you, rebuking, you can't say to the devil, I rebuke you, devil. Rebuking is a thing. It's the verb. Just like love is a verb. Rebuking is something you do. Cooking is something you do. Cleaning is something you do. Working is something that you do. Those are things that you do. You sit back and say, I'm cooking. It ain't getting done, is it? I'm rebuking the devil. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke. All you're saying is, I verb you, devil. I verb you, devil. I verb you, devil. You got to do something. Now I'm going to point out what the first thing you do. Now, mind you, they said this thing's a mute spirit because it wouldn't let him speak. Everybody's going to say, oh, I see it right there. Jesus said to it, deaf and dumb spirit. He called it out by name. Do you want to know what rebuking really is? It's calling something down. He wasn't calling it by name. He says, you stupid, hard-hearing spirit, come out of him. That's what he said to that spirit. We translate it as deaf and dumb. Oh, just because he couldn't speak. Well, it didn't say nothing about him not being able to hear. Jesus called it a hard-hearing, ignorant spirit. He called it down. What did he, when he rebuked Peter, when Peter said, Lord, you shall never, no, this won't come to you. What did he call Peter? The dirtiest word in his language. He called him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You see what I'm saying? When the devil comes to you, don't talk to him. Say, oh, devil, sir, get out of my life. When you speak to the devil, and you're going to have to, because your words are going to have to go forth, you've got to speak them. When they go forth, you don't sit there and barter with the devil. If somebody's got your daughter, are you going to barter with them? Yeah, I'm going to put it to you. I told a man one time, he was trying to invoke that I should have a little more compassion and that the justice system was against this man who was in prison for a crime. It's all the judges, the dean, the prison system's all screwed up. They're just messing him over. And I looked at that man and I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, his crime was televised. He was found guilty. I said, you and I both know darn well that if that had been your daughter he hijacked, you'd have been the first person with the crosshairs on his head. Because I would have. That's my daughter. I'm not going to talk to you kindly. You came against my family. You come against my people. You come against this nation. And guess what? It's time we rise up. It's time we quit speaking. Oh, you little devil. We all look around, we see the devil with a big old head, little horns, cute little pitchfork, and a pointy tail. He ain't nothing cute. And he's nothing to be feared. That's what's hilarious. You know, you've all seen the commercials for the movie Hellboy. That ain't what the devil looks like. The devil's not in his glorified state, but you've got to remember, he hasn't changed. He's still got horns, not these type. The horns the Bible describes were trumpets sticking out of him. When he walked, it was a one-man band, literally. He has precious stones covering his body. But now, the glory has been stripped from him. All he is now is a walking junk heap. So people think, well, we got to show respect. Jesus showed you how to have respect for the devil. Call it dirty names. And I'm not saying you get down and get dirty. I'm saying you call it down. Some of us speak better to our dogs than we do the devil. And know the devil, the dog is not God backwards. I heard somebody gave me a little thing. You know, dog is God spelled backwards. Yes, and I said, with a little G. People reveal all the stuff they've got going on for their dogs. They're animals. They're butt sniffers. Call them what they are. It's what they do. Right? Anybody got one that doesn't? Oh, yeah, Pat does. She's only this tall. She can't. She does. Get out of there. Now, he said, deaf and dumb spirit. I'm going to read this the way I told. He said, you hard hearing and ignorant spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. There was nothing that opened the door. That's why Jesus asked, why did this happen when it happened? Or when did this happen? He said, when he was a child. The boy did not have the authority on his own to open that door. If you've gotten wrapped up in illicit sex, in drugs, in alcohol, any of these things, they open the doors for demonic influence and demonic possession. That's why Jesus wanted to know when did this come on him. He needed to know whether he needed to deal with the kid or whether he just needed to deal with the spirit that took authority where it didn't have it. So he dealt with it. And I think it made Jesus even madder. That's why he spoke to it like he did. Not, come out, you deaf and dumb spirit. He didn't say anything of the sorts. That's how people picture Jesus. They picture him as a fairy. That's exactly what they picture him as. But let me remind you, he was a carpenter for 30 years out of his 33 years on earth. Well, he had to grow up. Listen, my sons, I bought them each a belt, their own harness and pouches. When they were 8 and 5 years, or and 3 years of age. What do you think a carpenter does with his son? Teaches him the trade. Says, all right, boy, this is what I do. Now, I'm going to point out something, though. They've said, and if you've ever been to over to Israel, or even seen pictures of it, anybody ever noticed a lot of trees? Obviously, we hear a lot of trees being spoke of, but they burned forests. They burned buildings. I'm like, why burn the building? There ain't nothing wrong with the house. Burn the temple. I don't care. Why burn the house? You can use it. But the buildings they're finding are not made of wood. And they're discovering that the carpenters of Jesus' time worked hand right in hand with the stonemasons. In other words, and if you ain't ever picked, you know, you can ask Tim. You know, smaller blocks are a lot easier to pick up, but we helped when, you know, Tim was laying up this wall on the other side. Those are 12-inch wide blocks. They're heavy. They're 51 pounds apiece. If you need to lift some weights, 51 pounds apiece in each hand, you'll start. It took a crew of us to keep him, but he picked up every one of them up there. Jesus was not some lightweight, panty-waisted fairy. He was a man. He knew how to yell. People looked at him They respected him and others feared him. They never came at him alone. They always sent out a multitude. The scribes never went to him by themselves. They went with backup. And it was usually armed. What? Pay attention to the movies. They aren't that far off. These guys had temple guards. They weren't there just to guard the temple. They were there to guard the priests because people were threatening to kill them. They had their own bodyguards. Unfortunately, it was their own congregation. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many thought, said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. They're a little embarrassed. Wouldn't you? Okay, Lord, I just tried to walk on water, and I drowned. What did I do wrong? They said, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. He's not teaching something different than what he taught in Mark chapter 16. He said, in my name they shall cast out demons. Okay? Demons do have different strength levels. Jesus taught that. You cast out one demon, he goes back and finds seven more stronger than himself. Daniel, when he was praying, and the archangel came to him, and the angel said, what took you so long? He said, we've been wrestling with the prince of Persia for 21 days. The prince of Persia, we battle against powers, principalities, and rulers of the air. That shows you there's actually maybe three classifications. Old Testament, they called him a prince. He was lord over that region. He was lord over Persia, which is where Daniel was at. Daniel, he couldn't get through. He was battling with the Lord's army, not just a regiment over here. He had the entire thing to battle against. And because of that, it delayed the prayer. Now, they didn't know a whole lot about faith in the Old Testament. Some of them did, because most of our, well, all the examples you're going to find in Hebrews of heroes of the faith are Old Testament. But they didn't know how to speak, and they didn't have the authority that you've been given in the name of Jesus. All they knew to do was to ask. God says, all right, I've made things better now. I got you a whole new covenant. Anybody really want to go back under the old covenant? I mean, come on. Ladies, you're going to sit on that side of the church. Men, you're going to sit on this side of the church. We're going to do things, you know, if we do things the way the law says, that's why Paul said, don't go back to the law. There's nothing but death in it. The new covenant, you have life. And you now have the power. You have life with power. I mean, man, I couldn't imagine trying to rule my house and not have the authority to rule it. Well, I got to do what this guy says all the time. This guy says that I should beat my wife once a day. I have to beat my wife once a day. Yeah, we all laugh about that, but even in this country, that was a law. Anybody ever heard of the rule of thumb? You know what it's about? Can't beat your wife with a stick bigger than your thumb. They got silent. But that was a law in the United States. If you got big thumbs, ladies, I pity. My wife would probably get a couple licks out of that and it would break. Yeah, you goofed up, man. You're the one that put her in it. I was just happen to know a couple other ladies that have guns in here too, so their husbands know better. No, but I'm not saying by any means. If I find out you're beating your wife, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take you out here. We got a fenced-in yard. There's only one way out, and I'm going to be in front of it. I'm going to let Phil get you first. There's a little mulch down there, so when he jumps off the top of the play yard, you'll absorb some of it, but not all of it. No, man, you do not beat your wives. You do not beat your children. You can spank them. There's a difference between spanking and beating. If you're mad, walk away from the situation. Get out of the house, cool off. Another subject for another day. And he said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. This was a pretty strong demon. Jesus was not playing games with it. He called it dumb or ignorant and hard of hearing. And he was dealing with a pretty big spirit because it also had the deaf. It muted him. Or the dumb. It silenced him. He couldn't speak. And ultimately, Jesus went up against a whole bunch of demons there. Remember the man, the madman? Jesus said, "Who are you?" Jesus knew there was more than one devil in there. You got to understand, this man, they would put him in chains and he'd break the chains. How would you like to have that for a neighbor? By the way, he ran around naked. He would cut himself. He would scream. You know, today there's a lot of cutting, particularly among the teens. They cut themselves. I want to tell you, I got a whole row of teens right here. It is nothing more than demonic influence. That's all that it is. The devil wants to destroy you. Make you think you're not worthy. That's all that cutting is. It's nothing new. It's absolutely nothing new. As a matter of fact, you're going to start seeing more and more things that are dealt with in the Bible showing up in today. But you know what? We've been given authority over them. But there's a problem. You better have the faith backing you. The disciples didn't have it. The seven sons of Sceva didn't have it. They did not have the backing behind them. The devil looked at him and said, "Paul I know, Jesus I know. But who is you?" And one old man whooped seven teenage boys. And the odds are they weren't just 13 years old. Actually, it calls them young men. So that meant they could have been anywhere from 13 to 30. You're still a young man if you're 30. I'm a man. I'm 21 years old. You're still wet behind the ears. I've realized that. Like, dear Lord, what I didn't know at 21. I thought I was a man. I'm the stud. Yeah, woo! Man, I didn't know my head from a hole in the ground. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. He's talking about faith, folks. How much time did you spend praying? How much time have you spent fasting? Are you living in front of the television? Are you living in front of the computer? Did I just hit some toes? Do not believe everything you read on the internet. I'm going to say that again. Do not believe everything you read on the internet. I don't know how many times I get the same stupid email that talks about this wave of things, crime sprees that's going on. People driving around with their lights off, and if you flash them to turn them on, they'll pull you over and cut your throat. Please. I know what's going on in Iraq. Why wouldn't I know about that happening in the United States through a normal news service? They can trace this stuff back and find out who's the moron that wrote it. And what scares me is when people of faith start spreading those stupid things. They're even spreading out false Amber Alerts. That's just wrong. Get on this, pray on it immediately. Go to Snopes.com and find out if it's real. Obviously, it's a bunch of guys that have nothing better to do than to find out if what you're saying is true or not. But today, people are taking what's on the internet as the gospel. I'm going to teach you what the gospel really is. Well, the gospel's salvation. Yeah. Then why does it talk about preaching the gospel in the Old Testament? there's something more to the gospel than what we ever thought. This was something that stretched my mind. I told Angela, I said, God has taken the last 2 years of these ministers' conferences to start prepping me. He's been getting in there, stretching my brain a little bit, so that when he brought the revelation out, it was like, no kidding! Duh! Father, be with them in Jesus' name. And so anyhow, we've just taken all kinds of garbage, and it affects our faith. Well, this happened, that happened. Yeah, I admit, bad things do happen. There are some goofy people. Y'all figured that out yet? There's goofy people in the world. They will do stupid things to anybody. And just because you're a celebrity or you consider yourself a celebrity or a peon, take your choice. They don't care. Remember Michael Jordan's dad? Yeah, I was in North Carolina when that happened. They didn't care who he was. They just wanted his car. Remember Bill Cosby's son? They didn't care who he was. They just wanted his wheels. They don't care who you are. They just want to steal your faith. Well, Pastor, with all the things that are going on in the world, you know, things coming out about the Bible, you even said that some of the words were mistranslated. How do I have faith in that? Get in the Word of God, let it sink deep into you, stand on it knowing that it is the truth, nothing else is the truth. Don't let anybody take it from you. That's your T-bone steak. And I'm going to tell you right now, ain't nobody going to take it off my plate. It is my substance. It is the very thing I live by. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is not only written, but it is what you've been told. So in other words, Pastor, if I'm not doing what God's told me to do, then I'm not developing faith. Bingo! You don't believe God can speak into the situation. You don't believe God can move. Well, Pastor, God told me to give away my car to this family. Well, that'll leave me without a car. Can I show you where God did it before? Remember a little prophet named Elijah? Remember a drought that was on the land for 3.5 years? And then after that drought, that creek dried up, God told him, he said, go to a widow in Zarephath. I have prepared her. I have already told her to take care of you. He gets there, and what does she say? Oh, yeah, well, all I have is this little bit of meal and this little bit of oil, and I was going to make a cake for me and my son, and then we are going to eat it and die. They didn't have enough to feed for another day. This was going to be their final meal. And what did the prophet say? And then let me tell you something. People say, oh, I can't believe the arrogance of the men of God. They would dare to expect me to go beyond this. She had already gave up. She had absolutely no faith. Well, I can't say no faith. She had already gave up the fight, didn't she? I'm planning on dying. Me and my son are going to die. And he said, well, be it unto you as you said, but go ahead and give me the first cake. That sounds pretty arrogant from a man of God, doesn't it? It's what people keep saying about the offerings and tithes. Truth, let me tell you what the basis of people balking against that is: greed. I don't want to give God a tithe. It ain't scriptural. Really. I got all kinds of scripture. Jesus didn't tell us we didn't have to stop that. Well, Jesus never preached on it. Well, Jesus didn't preach on homosexuality either. So why are you standing against it? Because the statutes of God stand on. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I remember, anybody seen the movie Steel Magnolias? Unfortunately, I have too. But it was a good movie. I wasn't the only Marine watching it, though. It was the only movie on the island. And we wanted something new. We had watched everything in the video store 10 times already. And in there, one of the women says, you know, well, she said something about a name. She says, you know all homosexuals are named Mark, Rick, or Steve. And Angela looked at me. She said, it's like, I have a Pastor Mark, Pastor Rick, and a Pastor Steve. None of them are gay. We just thought that was a funny coincidence. But anyhow, your faith is going to have to speak for you in these situations. I can join my faith with you, but if you still do not believe, I cannot override your faith. I cannot carry you through certain battles. The whole point of God letting me join my faith with you is to get you through that one so you've got faith. When you write a check, I thought of this last week. If somebody were going to write you a $1 million check, would you rather your neighbor write it or would you rather Bill Gates wrote it? Unless you live by a millionaire, your hands would be going up for Bill Gates writing that check. Because your neighbor might be driving a 1967 Volkswagen Bug that's got rusted out floorboards. No, you're going to want somebody who's got the goods in the bank. But the problem is you can't live off their goods. You can't live off of their bank account. That's why we can join our faith in things, but God does ultimately expect us to believe Him for it. Well, Pastor, what about the man who was lowered through the ceiling, the paralytic? His friends lowered him through the ceiling. Their faith worked for him. Yeah, he was unconscious. Anybody have faith while you're unconscious? I don't know. I don't think you can. I would be unconscious, so I couldn't tell you. Right? He believed. The faith of his friends moved Jesus to healing. But after that, God expected him to start believing for the headaches. If you can't believe for a headache, don't wait till cancer hits you to finally start believing. I happen to actually know somebody who's in that situation now, and it's whooping them. It's not a good time to learn to fight when you've already been hit. You know. And it's even worse when you get into a fight and you find out they know something I don't know. They know karate. Well, that's good. I live by the adage, you know karate, I know 45. I don't care how good and how bad you think you is, you ain't dodging a bullet when it takes your kneecap out. So I'm going to be far enough away from you so you can't kick it out of my hands. Yeah, shoot you in the kneecaps. Now we're equal. No, you don't want to get into a fight with the devil and suddenly find out, wait a minute, I'm outclassed here. Well, the disciples did the same thing. They found out, I'm outclassed. We can't carry this fight. And unfortunately, they got embarrassed because of it. It's a little too late to get in a fight and realize you don't have the faith to back it. That's why Jesus wants us to make disciples. If you're disciplined being the operative word, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean praying, fasting, reading, hearing the Word of God, seeking the face of God. When you're talking to God, shut up sometimes. There is a time for requesting the benefits. There is that time. We're going to talk about that in the model prayer. My Bible even notes it as the model prayer. But many churches, that's the only prayer they pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And da 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 da. That's all it becomes to them. They don't realize it was a model. And there's something in there we're going to talk about probably even next week. He said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. That's one of the blockers right there that will keep your faith from moving. If you do not forgive men of their trespasses, God is not going to forgive you. And if you read the parable of the unforgiving servant, which Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this man, I want you to pay attention to what the king did to that man. He brought the man's past debt back and said, now you'll pay it. Roy, do you want your past debt back? Me neither. It's easier to forgive than to pay that debt. Oh, but I can't forgive what they did to me. Really? But I'm going to get up and I'm going to testify of the goodness of God. No, you're not. Sit down. You don't know anything about the goodness of God yet. You presume to assume that you are God. Well, that got quiet. That's exactly what I said. You're assuming the title of God when you will not forgive anybody. God, Jesus himself said there's only one sin that's unforgivable. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, what if I blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's harder to do than you think, but I'm going to tell you what that word blaspheme means. It means speaking against. If you don't know whether it's a move of God or not, shut your mouth. Jesus spit in the man's face to heal him. Get in there. Somebody spits in my face. I can't think of anything grosser. You could probably think of a few, but for me, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. See, I've had my arm up to here, up sewer pipes, plugged up. I can handle that. You spit in my face? Yeah. Face might be the throat might be a little too high for me. I'm going to hurt you. That's one thing. But this healed a man. Do you understand? Well, I don't believe God would have anybody punch somebody in the stomach to heal him of cancer. Well, you know what? It happened for Wigglesworth. As a matter of fact, I think he punched his wife 3 times in the belly. I think it might have been. Anyhow, she was dead. He picked her up and said, live. She kept slamming, live. I said, live. She lived. She would have been gone for a couple days at this point. She came back and said, leave me alone. I want to be there. We're old, do you understand? I'm not old there. Leave me be. You'll be coming soon. And he let her go, and he had peace with it. But we look at him and say, that ain't the move of God. I think you better get in your Bible and see what the move of God was. There's a lot of things. Now there, you do have to test the spirits. I'm not saying just go into a meeting where all kinds of goofy things are happening. There is order. If there's no order to the service, walk out the door, the Holy Spirit's not there. It's all flesh. There is order. And I'm not talking about somebody sitting there with a thumb on people. I'm talking about there is an order. The Holy Spirit flows in an orderly fashion. He doesn't just come in and say, you know, I've actually been in services where from up here, and we were a lot further away from the pulpit, the front row began about the middle of our section, and the man of God just did this and went. Now, mind you, I'm in the Marine Corps. Ain't nobody going to knock me down if I don't want to go down. I ended up flat on my face. Everybody else around me went the other way. From that point on, I quit disbelieving that it was the move of God. I said, God, I don't want to land on... The carpet was like this. It was a concrete floor. I'm on my face. And didn't get hurt. Didn't even know I was on my face. I was sitting on the edge. I had a chair in front of me. How I missed it, I don't know. But all I know is it was the move of God. And I quit saying, you know what? This ain't a God. There were people who did... who ran out of there saying, this is not of God, this is heresy. Inside that year, their oldest son ran away. They began to face financial problems. They were being blessed where they were at. But you don't speak against the Holy Spirit. judgment does come. Well, Pastor, judgment's in the end. Judgment is harvest. Harvest comes back. You plant grass seeds, you can expect grass to grow. Unless you planted cheap, rotten seed. Buy good stuff. Plant good seeds. And as far as your faith, there's something Jesse Duplantis shared. He actually, he's going down through there. I'm thinking, I told Angela, I said, this is one of my messages. This is where God started taking me on prayer. And I said, he's filling in the blanks for me. The things I had questions about, boom, 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 he filled in the blanks. Jesse said, a man's prayer power is not an arbitrary thing. It depends on what he surrounds himself with. Are you surrounding yourself with people of doubt and unbelief? Are you surrounding yourself with complainers and whiners? I'm going to tell you something. I realized this the other night, just shared it with Angela recently. I know why God wanted to wipe the children of Israel out for complaining and whining. It's annoying. You bend over backwards trying to make things better, and all they do is, we want it better. We don't have enough food. I'll send you free bread. Tell you, don't worry about it. Don't store a bunch up tonight. I'll send you more tomorrow. So what they do, they hoard it. And then they wonder why their tent smells like rotten flesh. And they got worms. They got greedy. Whining is nothing more than a product of greed. I want it better for me. And I'm just going to say this. Please do not come to me and whine about it being cold anywhere else in these buildings. Our electric bill last month was $900 and some trying to heat these buildings. I'm dealing with this right now. I've now installed gas heaters to try to take care of it and still had people complain. I spent $1,000 putting that stuff in. It is 70 degrees over in that building. If you are cold 70 degrees, drink some hot coffee. Pour it down your front. Pour it in your boots. Dress with a sweater. I'm personally sweating right now. Yes, I know the anointing's up here and these lights don't help my issue. But the fans are on. It's 70 degrees back there. I said, I know why God wanted to kill them and start all over. When you complain, you're telling God, I'm not grateful for what you've provided me. You think you're still the source of your blessings. What is it back here, Pat? That's in the farthest corner away from the heater. Yeah, I agree. But you see, that complaining and whining will stop the blessings of God. And I know why. I got to deal with this in the fleshly form. When people whine and complain, I don't want to do anything else for them. You're complaining about the driveway? Fix it yourself. I'm just going to flat out tell you, I'm not paid to fix driveways. No, I'm not. I'm paid to be the pastor, which is the shepherd. That's not my job. I now know I've got to spend more time in prayer and stuff. This church is about to grow. That wall's coming out. We've already got a divider to start moving room classes over there. I go to pick it up tomorrow. We are expanding, folks. We are not staying the same as we were last year. If you want to stay in a small church, you're going to have to leave. I want 1,000 people in this church. Why? I want 1,000 warriors who know how to go out and speak the word of God and speak into the lives of the other 35,000 in this county who don't go to church. And just because they're sitting in church doesn't mean they know anything about God. How many people do you know have been in church for 50 years and when they get a headache, it's like, oh, what do I do? Rebuke the thing and go on. Speak to it.
Well, I can't just do that. I'm going to point out Jesus just walked by a tree. He was hungry for a snack. Walked by a fig tree. Oh, I'll get a fig. He walks by there and you got leaves, but no fruit. Die. He comes back through in the air later on. Disciples looked and said, the tree's dead. It died from the roots up. He spoke to the heart of that thing because it was not producing what it's supposed to produce. I don't want him to walk by me and say, bye. You want to start seeing your prayers answered? First off, stop complaining. Quit complaining about work. Thank God you have work. Because I can pray the blessing over you. But if you're going out and you're taking a hatchet to it, you're going to float off into nowhere. Thank God you have a job. Thank God you've got a boss. If your boss is a mean jerk, pray for him. That's what the Bible tells you to do. Ask God to intervene in a situation. Maybe he'll make you the boss, and maybe you'll figure out why he was so mean. Because he had to deal with whining, complaining babies. That's what I figured out when I got promoted. I was like, why are the corporals always so uptight? Well, now I know why. They're the last ones that get their butt chewed. It starts with the colonel, comes down through the captain, then to the sergeant major, then the first sergeant, then the company gunny, then the staff NCOIC, then the sergeant, and, you know, they only gain size. When that stuff rolls downhill, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you're the corporal. You're the last one on the totem pole. And then you just, and they're like, but don't blow the troops out. What do you mean? I got this big ball of stuff I got to get rid of. Yeah. Thank God you've got a job. Start praising him. Give him glory. Do not allow the devil to creep in and start stealing your faith. That's where doubt and unbelief begins. Did God really say not to eat from that tree, Joanne? Eve should have said, yes, he did, and we're going this way. Because here's the question. Why was she near? Why was she near that tree? The Garden of Eden, you got to understand, wasn't tiny. And this thing was in the middle of the garden. There were four rivers that flowed out of it. Two of them are still named today. Tigris and Euphrates. The other two aren't even there. So it was not a tiny little place. And God said, Adam and Eve, you got the whole thing. But don't touch that tree in the middle. That's mine. That's where the tithing principle started. And here's what Kenneth shared about that. And I'm going to go ahead and share it with you. He said, God's whole intention for that tree was not to keep man from ever knowing good from evil, but to teach him how to handle it a little bit at a time. So that, here, Roy, take a bite. If somebody gives you, it's good, right? But if you steal it, it's got sin attached to it. So God meant to come down. That's why he would come down. He wanted to teach them and share with them because they were going to have to deal with it. He knew the temptation was coming. They just got a little stingy. Thought, man, what do I want to eat all these delicious fruits for? I want what's on that tree. I guarantee you the food didn't taste any different. It was probably, in my opinion, probably like a persimmon. Anybody ever had one? Yeah, I see Athena making it. She's had one. Yeah, they're real sour. I mean, you think a lemon sour? I think, yeah, persimmons are real bitter. It could have been like that, but see, it was the whole revelation of, oh yeah, I just did wrong. Anyhow. This has nothing to do with the message, but I just want to tell some of you this. Maybe somebody needs it. I know it really helped me because I was like, wow, I've seen that in my own life and things right now. God's direction for your life is not necessarily your destination. The road where you're head, the way you seem to be heading right now may not be exactly where your destination is. My destination was not Jacksonville, North Carolina. But God took me from Chesterville, Ohio, sent me around the world, deposited me in North Carolina, let me reside there for a little while, and then he said, go back to Morrow County. I was like, no. Actually, at that point, I knew it was God. And actually, God had already started creating the abrasion between me and Jacksonville. I'd grown to love it, and then I was like, you know what? Lord, what's the deal here? Why am I not liking this place anymore? He said, because you got to go home. I'm separating you. I mean, Keith grew up there. JD and Jenny been there. They went to the church we went to. I have to agree. This is, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to complain about the way Morrow County looks, I'll gladly let you go to Fort Worth or Dallas. I'm serious. Texas, what do they think is so beautiful about Texas? It's, yes. Trees do not grow big there. This would be about as tall as a tree is in Texas. And like, no wonder they have to build everything so bigger. It's like, there's nothing pretty about it, in my opinion. Unless you got a four-wheeler. You got lots of room to do a horse, if you like horses. But then you got to watch the rattlesnakes. But the direction you're in right now may not necessarily be your destination. Because see, God already knows the future. You may be thinking, oh, is this all I've got going? I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about things. God already knows where the devil's going to throw a roadblock in for you. God let me have the job, but he knew the devil was going to throw a roadblock in and get rid of it. Lost that job, moved on to this job, that job. Moved around for a while in jobs, and then finally, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Does that mean I'm never going to leave this pulpit and nobody else is? I'm always going to be the pastor here. But I already know I got a message that a lot of other people in this county and the surrounding areas needs to hear. And that's why it's up to me now to start raising people who can preach and teach, who know the word and have compassion. So that doesn't mean that next week I'm not going to be here. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is just another step in the journey. This is where God's called me to be. He told me to go. He told us to go back to Morrow County where we have favor. I didn't realize I had favor. I'm like, I tried to stay below radar. You know, like come to find out, a lot of people knew who I was. I didn't play sports. I didn't do anything. I was in FFA for 2 years, barely turned in a project. First year, I didn't turn in a project. Second year, I turned in books on rabbits and then let the rabbits go. It's kind of hard to eat something when you raise that. I figured that out. I didn't have to. All I had to do was go in and pet the little babies and let it back in the cage, and Mama would eat them. Yeah, I'd rather just go out and shoot a wild rabbit. It's like, I had the big ones. I had big, I mean, my buck, he was we called him Dog. He was about that big. They were checkered giants. They weren't these little cute fuzzy bunnies. He was, I think the neighborhood foxes and hawks got him, though. So anyhow, praise God. So I hope I said something today that helped you out here a little bit. Again, this is a series of a message, but the one thing I do want you to understand is prayer, 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 prayer builds your faith. And when we come together, we do have strength in numbers. That's why things happen when we come together. Not that things don't happen in your prayer life. Sometimes there's an enemy you got to come up against that you need help against. And it's nothing. And what scares me is that the 12 disciples standing there couldn't cast out this demon. 12 of them. The Bible says one of us puts 1,000 to flight. Two of us can send 10,000. How many should 12 have been able to put out? Like 12 million? Or 1 point? I don't know. It's some. This obviously wasn't just some little demon. It wasn't some little private. This was a commanding general, and he had intentions of destroying and controlling that region. You may be called to such a thing. You may have an appointment down the road. And I'd hate to see you miss the appointment because you're not ready for the fight. Prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Get in the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not sitting there conversing with Him. You're not listening to what He's telling you. Well, God didn't. There's nothing in the Bible about this situation. Shut up long enough to listen to Him. Anybody ever had God tell you to shut up? He says, you talk too much, boy. Boy, I can't get a word in there. Shut up, boy. We're like Bugs Bunny. I know when to shut up. I shut up when I'm shutting up. And people know I know how to shut up. Yosemite Sam finally says, shut up, shutting up. Sometimes we got to listen. If you listen, God will speak to you because He's a still small voice. He's not thunderous like a tornado. He's not ground shaking like an earthquake. Is He? It's in the still small voice. So if you aren't turning the television off, turning the computer off, sometimes you got to turn things off and get away. 5:30 in the morning, you ain't had a chance yet for the world to undump its garbage on you. That's what I figured out. You're ready for the day. I woke up this morning. It was actually 6:20. I'm sure God woke me up at 5:30, but He got me out of bed at 6:20. And I just told Angela, I got to go pray. He dumped on me. The devil tried to stop this message today because I was about ready to say, you know what? Let's just praise. But then the man of God that's inside rose up and said, I don't think so. You preach the word. Come in, you know, bless God, Harold's out there. He said, good morning, man of God, my pastor. Man, I thank God for you. Boy, I tell you what, I hear that. Well, you mean you don't? Yeah, we all need to be told that. We all need to watch. You need to have, you're speaking to people. Greet them sincerely. Not just a cold, stiff handshake. Greet them and mean it. It's about love. How you love other people tells God how much you love Him. If you don't love people, you found out where you need to start with. Well, everybody's against me. No, you're just unlikable. If you want friends, you got to be friendly, right? You've got to change. Well, if those girls over here just accept me, well, maybe you're telling them by your body language or something else you don't want to be a part of it. Well, you know, those guys over there, they all ride motorcycles. I don't. If you want to be a part of those guys, get over your fear of the motorcycle and buy one. Quit blaming it on everybody else. There. Boy, I feel better. Now I just go home and get my hammer and just start driving nails. Oh, no. No, actually, wisdom has spoke even better. That's why I bought a nail gun. Yeah, I've only done that once. I had thousands of nails, and that was my dad's gun. I should have made him use it. He knew it was double firing. Mine works fine. I told him that, too. I said, it was your gun I want to point out. Oh, no, I wouldn't use it. I said, it was your gun. Mine doesn't double fire. Anyhow, but praise God. Develop your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have time now. If you ain't figured it out, the new administration doesn't have a clue what to do with this, what's going on. They ain't got a stinking idea. They want to give you $875 billion back. Where's the money coming from? You! I always thought that was pretty moronic. I think the military should be tax exempt. Yeah, we didn't. They're making a little more than we did back then, but I'm going to tell you something. They pay their own taxes. They pay their own wages. I thought, this is stupid.